الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، today is the 29th of Shawwal 1433, which corresponds to the 15th of September 2012. It's a Saturday evening, Jazakallahu khairan, here at the Mushrifa Da'wah Center. And I believe this will be the seventh session, inshallah ta'ala, on the amazing book of Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, or Minhaj al-Qasidin. Na'am. And we were discussing some very interesting points from our Salaf in regards to their condition while engaged in Salah, and how they used to be while in the state of prayer, and how they would be totally detached from the world, and something that we can only dream about and make a lot of effort to follow. Welcome. So we stopped at the following statement: وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ لِلصَّلَاةِ أَرْكَانًا وَوَاجِبَاتِ وَسُنَنًا. Know that the salah has arkan. What is arkan? Pillars. وَوَاجِبَاتِ, obligatory acts, right? Or obligations. Wasunanan. Huh. It's a tricky one. What does it mean here? Here it means optional, voluntary. Huh? There's something missing. There's one thing which you didn't mention, which we usually mention when we say salah. Salah has, before arkan and wajibat and sunan, shurut. Sahih? Does everybody remember the shurut al-salah, or shall we just avoid the embarrassment and move on? We'll just move on. Huh? Of course, facing the qibla, tahara, purification of the body, of the area, entering of the time of salah, that you're a Muslim, that you're at the age of discretion or the age of responsibility. So, you have been signed out of the session. Now, here's your wizik, man. They should call it something else. Anyways, guys, stay here. He's going to do his technical support stuff. Maybe because this the notification came? Whatever. وَرُوحَهَا النِّيَّةِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَالْخُشُوعِ وَحُضُورَ الْقَلْبِ.
Meaning from my home, someone has entered here. Because it says someone has entered already, signed in.
قَدَّرَ اللَّهَ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. يا شيخ بلا وزك بلا بطيخ. Yeah, how many students? What are we going to do, Tay? Moving on. وَرُوحَهَا. Ruh is the usually used for soul or spirit. And of course, we're meaning here the ruh is the essence. Huh? Like the soul is the essence of the existence, because the body is just a body. Without the soul, the body is dysfunctional. So even though there's arkan and wajibat and sunan for the salah, the real essence of the salah is in the niyyah and in the sincerity and in the submissiveness and the presence of the heart. Alaykum salam. And presence of the heart. فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَشْتَمِلُ عَلَىٰ أَذْكَارٍ وَمُنَاجَاتٍ وَأَفْعَالٍ. Very important, ya akhwan, to pay attention to these explanations from the Shaykh. The salah comprises of adhkar. Where are the adhkar? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Dua al-Istiftah, which people have called Thana. Right? And it's not called Thana. Okay? Thana means praise. And Dua al-Istiftah is divided into times. There are some ad'iyah where you're actually praising Allah, and there are others where you're seeking forgiveness. There's actually, from what I know, minimum four to five different, more than that actually, 5 to 6 different adhkar or dua al-istiftah, that which you begin the salah with. Most people have one memorized, which is the one that seems like thana, therefore they've made the term thana interchangeable with istiftah. But the ulama, they call it dua al-istiftah. Na'am, because there are times when you are praising Allah, and there are times when you are seeking Allah's forgiveness. Sahih? And there are times when you, different things are being stated there. And like you said, takbir, ahsan, takbirat al-ihram is adhkar. All this is dhikr. So the salah has adhkar wa munajat. Who knows what the word munajat means? What? No, wait. Let's get the... Where's Shu'aib? Shu'aib is usually the... Who's the mufti usually in this stuff? Ibrahim. Yes, Fadilat Shaykh Ibrahim. What is munajat? Barakallah feek. He'll pass on this one, huh? Munajat is the state of begging. The state of calling on Allah in the state of poverty. Yunaji Rabbah. Al-munajat is that state of humbly asking for something. So salah is adhkar, munajat, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Tayyib. Wa af'al. Actions. Now you stand up, you bow, you prostrate, you sit down, you get up, so on and so forth. Wa ma'adami hudur al-qalbi la yahsulu al-maqsood bil-adhkari wal-munajat. If the heart is not present, or with the absence of the heart, it is impossible to attain the element of adhkar and munajat. You will have the af'al. That's why they say, you know, gymnastics. For some people, salah is a workout, physical workout. And that's the only benefit they, attain from the salah. But the element of munajat and the element of adhkar, with the absence of the heart, you cannot acquire them. You can say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, 10 times without ever thinking of what Subhana Rabbi al-Azim means. And therefore, you haven't really done dhikr in the way it's supposed to be done. And similarly, you can say, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, while one of us is totally, totally occupied with something else. And even though we said Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, we really didn't mean it. It's just a word that we are used to saying, and therefore there's no real munajat. I mean, you can tell the difference between someone who's saying ihdina sirat al-mustaqim willingly from his heart, really begging Allah for this guidance when he sees all these people going astray, and someone who just says it because fatiha is, you know, salah is invalid without the fatiha. So munajat and adhkar cannot be truly acquired excuse me unless the heart is present. Absence of the heart, forget it. We only get the af'al. لأن نطق إذا لم يعرب عما في الضمير كان بمنزلة الهذيان. The uttering of something, if it does not express what is within, it becomes a form of hallucination. هذيان is someone who's hallucinating, walking around just saying, repeating something. If one of us says something, and that thing which we're saying is not related to our feelings, it's just words, you're like a hallucinator. You're just saying things that make no sense. Why? Because they do not express what you feel. They're just some words. Anybody can utter statements that they do not mean or they do not feel. وكذلك لا يحصل المقصود من الأفعال لأنه إذا كان المقصود من القيام الخدمة. And even the af'al, even though they may be the movement, the benefit behind the af'al cannot be attained either with the absence of the heart. Because if the intention behind the movement is khidma. Khidma, what is khidma? Service, right? Ayy khidma? Everybody knows that one, right? Say khadamat, service road. You know some Arabic now. وَمِنَ الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ الذِّلُّ وَالتَّعْظِيمُ. Excuse me. The objective behind ruku' and sujood is al-dhul aw al-dhil aw al-dhul wa ta'zim. Dhul is like humiliation. Ta'zim is exaltation. To extol Allah or to exalt Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's what. Wa amma ruku' fa innahu li ta'zim al-rabb subhanahu. The ruku' is not a place where you make dua. The hadith specifically prohibits a Muslim from making dua in ruku', because it's a place for only exalting Allah. Sujood is where one makes dua. Nowadays people make dua anytime they feel like it, and it doesn't work that way. وَلَمْ يَكُرِ الْقَلْبِ حَاضِرًا لَمْ يَحْصُ الْمَقْصُودِ. So if all this is done while the heart is not present, then again you have not, and we have not fulfilled the objective of the salah. فَإِنَّ الْفِعْلَ مَتَى خَرَجَ عَنْ مَقْصُودِهِ بقي صورة لا اعتبار بها. Because the action, once it goes beyond its intent, beyond the objective behind it, it becomes nothing but an image with no purpose behind it. It's just some action. Huh? قال الله تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. Huh? سورة الحج آية 37. Allah Azza wa Jal shall not attain, shall not benefit, in other words, shall not take away from the flesh or the blood of the animals you sacrifice. When you say, huh? When you sacrifice, Bismillah, Wallahu Akbar. صح? طيب. And this, you have just spilled some blood for the sake of Allah. أرهقت الدماء لله تبارك وتعالى. فصلي لربك وانحر. طيب. Is Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense taking or benefiting from the flesh of this animal and the blood? No. Where does that benefit really come to us? What does Allah accept which will benefit us? The taqwa. The act of worship behind it. That's why someone can sacrifice for a dead man or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What matters is taqwa. If they sacrifice for a dead man, is there any taqwa there? Yes, there's no taqwa, there's shirk. And therefore Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept this act of worship. So what is important is a taqwa. When taqwa is there, then there will be a benefit behind the blood and the flesh. But the blood and the flesh without the taqwa is of no benefit. والمقصود أن الواصل إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الوصف الذي استولى على القلب حتى حمل على امتثال الأوامر المطلوبة. The intent here, or the objective, is that the one who has reached Allah Azza wa Jal is the description of the one whose heart has been overwhelmed, is that taken over his heart until it made him carry out the commands and the commandments. فلا بد من حضور القلب في الصلاة. It is inevitable that the heart is present at the salah. ولكن سامح الشارع في غفلة تطرأ. ولكن however, الشارع the legislator has, we can say, what is that word? To overlook or pardoned, huh? He pardoned the thing, the heedlessness which may suddenly attack you. From tatru, from tawari, or tari, amrun tari, something that is sudden, something that is urgent or emergency. So if something suddenly comes to you, it has been forgiven, huh? لأن حضور القلب في أوله ينسحب حكمه على باقيها. Because the presence of the heart in the beginning will kind of affect the rest of the salah when the beginning is there. A little bits and pieces here and there, if we fight them off, alhamdulillah, we're good. والمعاني التي تتم بها حياة الصلاة كثيرة. The meanings and the morals or the morals behind the salah are many. He mentions them, or he mentions some of them. المعنى الأول حضور القلب كما ذكرنا. The first is the presence of the heart as aforementioned. ومعناه أن يفرغ القلب من غير ما هو ملابس له. And the objective is that we empty the heart of anything else which may be attached to it. Mulabis is like something that is like clothing, something that is really stuck on one's heart. وسبب ذلك الهمة فإنه متى أهمك أمر حضر قلبك ضرورة. And the whole thing revolves around what is concerning you, your concern. Huh? If something concerns you, your heart will come automatically by necessity. فلا علاج لإحضاره إلا صرف الهمة إلى الصلاة. So the only way that you can get the heart is by making that concern of yours the salah itself. The only way you can make it effective is by making the concern at that time salah. وانصراف الهمة يقوى ويضعف بحسب قوة الإيمان بالآخرة واحتقار الدنيا. That ability, or that being able to control one's concern, and that is strengthened and weakened proportional to one's strength of iman in the life to come and his belittlement of the dunya. The more one of us has the yaqeen, huh, and has the iman in the life to come and the belittlement of the dunya, the more he's able to control these external factors to bring that concern to the heart. That my concern now is salah. Why? Because this is the most important thing in my life after my tawheed. And if I fix it, then everything else will be fixed. And I don't have to worry about my job, and I don't have to worry about my money, and I don't have to worry about anything. Because if I'm on good terms with Allah, then the rest is history. Huh? Khalas. If Allah is pleased with one of us and He's facilitating His affairs, we don't have to worry about anything or anyone because no one is in control but Allah. If our relationship with Allah is no good, because our salah is no good, then we have a lot to worry about. Because if Allah doesn't give us that special wilayah, that special protection, then we're vulnerable to everything and everyone in this world. Then we will suffer at many different scales, at many different degrees. So yani, understanding this before we enter into the salah is critical. If we don't, then we will become like the ulama said, that ibadatu ahli al-ghafla adat. The acts of worship of the heedless people are nothing but habitual acts. Oh, you pray just because everybody else is praying. But that kind of prayer is not going to do the job. فَمَتَى رَأَيْتَ قَلْبَكَ لَا يَحْضُرُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ سَبَبَهُ ضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ فَاشْتَهِدْ فِي تَقْوِيَتِهِ. Once you see that your heart is not present in salah, know that the reason behind it is the weakness of iman. Therefore, strive on strengthening your iman. Yeah? One of the ways to do this is the dua which we learned from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein he said that verily iman will wear out in one's heart like clothing. You wear a thawb or a shirt for a couple of years and it will start having threads come out and holes under the armpit and khalas. And it gets worn out. Eventually they use it as a rug to clean the floor, or your mother will use it to clean the kitchen counter. Your favorite shirt. Because at some point it's history. Iman wears out. So the Prophet ﷺ, your internet connection is lost. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then ask Allah to renew and يجدد الإيمان في قلوبكم. Ask Allah to renew the iman in your hearts. That's a dua which many of us may be heedless about. When was the last time we asked Allah to renew the iman in our hearts? Tara, we try that. In the sujood and at times of dua, say, Allahumma jaddid al-imana fi qalbi. Renew the iman in my heart. Because if Allah renews it, done. Huh? This is the best kind of service and maintenance that one can have. It's directly from Allah Azza wa Jal who controls the hearts. It's a shortcut. If Allah answers that dua, then we are on good terms. Anyways, there's a reason why I never like these things, man. والمعنى الثاني التفاهم لمعنى الكلام فإنه أمر وراء حضور القلب. The first thing that we said is what? Presence of the heart. Type. After the heart is there. Before we enter the salah, okay, this dunya, piece of trash. And the life to come is the eternal life. Second in line is understanding the words. Huh? Understanding the meaning of the words, because behind that will come about the presence of the heart. لأنه ربما كان القلب حاضرا مع اللفظ دون المعنى. Maybe the heart is present only with the wording but not the meaning. يعني we're concentrating on Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I didn't let any shaitan whisper anything to me, but I didn't think about what Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen means. Huh? And of course, this is a byproduct of not knowing Arabic. That's why it has been said at least maybe 100 times. I wanted to exaggerate, say 1,000,000 times, but I know I would not be saying the truth. Hundreds of times it has been said, Ya Akhwan, learn Arabic. Just do it. Stop giving excuses and saying this and that and blah, blah, blah. It's all from the shaitan. Believe me, we know ourselves. If your mudir at work told you, learn French and I will double your salary, wallah, you will be going for midnight classes at the institute to learn French. At 12 midnight, you'll be going like a studious student standing like this at the door and learning French, and you come to, comment ça va aujourd'hui? Say, mashallah, what happened to you? Say, wallah, they gave me this offer, man. Double the salary, bro. I speak French anytime now. Ah, and then we say, learn Arabic to enter Jannah. So, you know, brother, you know, come on, man. It's tough stuff, you know. Time is tight and this and that. Blah, blah, blah. Think about it in the same way. You'll be able to do something. But if we don't think in this way, we will never do it. It's not like you're going to wake up in the morning and suddenly you're going to start speaking Arabic, you know, to yourself in the mirror. It doesn't happen. It's a language. You're not saying study history where you can memorize a page. You have to study a language, which means vocabulary, sentence structure, hearing skills, listening skills, which is the same thing, speaking skills, writing skills. It takes some effort because you're learning a whole language. But it's easy. It's not something that is impossible. Many people have done it before with less means and less money. And less resources. Now it's all easy, online classes and online universities, and everything has been made easy. We just have to give it time, because if we ever want to reach that point which we're looking forward to, without the Arabic, we will never get it. Just be honest with ourselves. We will never get it. You will never enjoy Taraweeh. Never. Properly, until you know what the Imam is saying in every single ayah. Until then, يعني, every few rak'at he may come across one ayah which you remember, then you feel happy that, yeah, I know what this one means. But imagine if you actually knew everything and you heard the whole book of Allah from the beginning till the end in Ramadan. What kind of effect would that have on one's heart? More than you can imagine, you, because you don't get to hear the speech of Allah from A to Z, and from beginning to end, usually because of our own recitation. When was the last time we did our own khatmah? So when is that opportunity in 1 month to hear the whole thing? Ramadan. So just re-emphasizing the importance of the Arabic language. نعم. فينبغي صرف الذهن إلى إدراك المعنى بدفع الخواطر الشاغلة وقطع موادها. So one should, it's incumbent on the person to direct his concern, his intellect, his mind, his thoughts, I'm sorry, towards understanding the meaning through which he's able to now fight back any kind of ideas or any kind of thoughts which may distract him. فَإِنَّ الْمَوَادِ إِذَا لَمْ تَنْقَطَعْ لَمْ تَنْصَرِفْ الْخَوَاطِرْ عَنْهَا. يعني basically, destroy the foundation. When you destroy the foundation, then these thoughts, which usually come to us in Salah, can no longer come, because we've dealt with the source itself. Huh? As my boss says all the time, he's genius, mashallah, tabarakallah, practicing Muslim. When we're dealing with work at work, he says, look, there are two ways to deal with things. You have a faucet that is leaking. So people are one of two. One who will bring a rug and some paper towels and some tissues and wipe. And another one who will go to the source and fix it. Huh? Many people just wipe. Wipe. You didn't deal with the source of the problem. It's like taking Panadol. You have a headache and you shut it down for some time, but you didn't remove the source of the sickness. You only kind of calmed it down for some time. So some people just deal with things in this manner. Some people go to the source and extract it, eradicate it. So that is a way to deal with it as well, so that these thoughts will not come. وَعِلَاجُ ذَلِكَ, and he gives us the treatment, جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. وَعِلَاجُ ذَلِكَ إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمَوَادِ الظَّاهِرَةِ بِقَطْعِ مَا يَشْغُلُ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ. The way to deal with the source of temptation or the source of distraction, for example, if it is dealing with the tangibles, huh? By cutting off that which occupies or preoccupies one's hearing and one's seeing. By dealing with that which preoccupies one's hearing or one's seeing. Sorry guys, let me just see. I feel bad for these brothers if they're listening and then they can't really listen. F5, how does this work? We're all waiting. Lost you. So I've been lost. يا ابو يحل عني الله يرضى عليك طيب ها نعم وهو القرب من القبلة. So how do you address the issue of the preoccupation of the hearing and the seeing by first being near to the qibla? What does that mean? This is if you are where? Haram. Not necessarily. Not only the imam. Right now, let me ask you something. You're in a masjid, huh? And after people finish the salah, of course, people will get up to pray the sunnah, which is not the sunnah. The sunnah is to pray the sunnah at home. Huh? When you see someone not praying the sunnah afterwards, don't let the shaitan make you think that you're mashallah, you figured him out. Ah, this guy doesn't pray the sunnah. You, Allah yisalhak, you don't know the sunnah. The sunnah is to pray that sunnah at home. Huh? Not in the masjid. But we know our condition, and as most people will say, wallahi akhi, I know if I go home, I'm going to be this and da 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 da. So the salah is never done. So I pray the sunnah in the masjid to beat my shaitan and pray the sunnah. Say, Zakallah khair. You're better than the person who didn't pray the sunnah altogether. Alhamdulillah, pray in the masjid, but don't leave it. Huh? It's a recommended act. But if you were to pray, if you finished the obligatory salah and you wanted to pray the sunnah, where is it? Where is the best place to pray? At the back of the masjid or the very front? I go to the very front. Who's going to go in front of you? No one. What's going to distract you? Nothing. Huh? If you find a nice corner, you're done. But if you pray in the back, are you going to be busy? Somebody may walk in front of you. You have to stop fulan. Huh? Too much movement, too much noise. People opening the door, closing the door. So naturally, you'll be more distracted in the back than in the front. Which is closer to the Qibla? The one in the front. So not only in the haram, even though that was a trick question. Yes, even in haram, you'll be closer to the Kaaba. Anywhere you are, if you are farther away from people and from being in the back, which means you're closer to the Kaaba, then you have the Qibla, then you have done the job. Huh? That's one of the ways. وَنَظَرْ إِلَى مَوْضِعِ سُجُودِهِ. We already made some jokes about that in the previous lessons, to look at the place of prostration. Huh? Not looking at the people around you. Oh, mashallah. Now, وَإِمَّا بَاطِنَا وَهُوَ مَشْغُلُ سَمْعَ الْبَصَرِ وَإِمَّا بَاطِنَا وَهِيَ أَشَدُّ كَمَنْ تَشَعَّبَتْ بِهِ الْهُمُومُ فِي أَوْدِيَةِ الدُّنْيَا. أَحْسَنْتَ يَا مُحَمَّد. And so the things which bother you either are tangible, which is like the things which occupy the hearing and the seeing, or things which are inwardly, huh? Which are the things وَهِيَ أَشَدُّ, and it's more difficult to deal with, like the one who's distressed and is all over the dunya. His mind is all over the dunya. Not necessarily with the seeing and hearing, but his heart thinking about shopping and family and work and all that stuff. فَأَنَّهُ لَا يَنْحَصِرْ فِكْرُهُ فِي فَنٍ وَحِيٍ. He's unable to focus or concentrate on one kind of thing. وَلَمْ يُغْنِيهِ غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ. And him not looking around did not benefit him. لِأَنَّ مَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ كَافٍ فِي الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِهِ. What is in his heart is sufficient to distract him. Yani even though he's looking at the place of sujood, so many things are going in the heart, doesn't matter now that he didn't look. Now they said, now the paragraph, the treatment for that, if it is from the outward thing, is cutting off what occupies the hearing and the seeing, which is getting closer to the Qibla, looking at the place of sujood, وَالْإِحْتِرَازُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مِنَ الْمَوَاضِعِ الْمَنْقُوشَةِ. Allah, 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 ya Shaykh. And avoiding praying in places which are adorned or decorated. Manqush. Ah. So, if you're looking at the place of sujood and your sajada is manqusha, huh, then you have a problem. And by the way, I think I figured it out. This is why the Lebanese people call manusha manush. You know the manush? Yeah. Never heard manush? You know why they call manqush? Because how do they make it? They bring the bread, huh, and then they put their finger like this in it, naqsh. Then they put the olive oil and the za'atar, and then it goes into these little holes so that when they put it in the oven, yani, so the idea is naqsh. There's naqsh on the ma'usha, therefore it's called manqusha. But Lebanese people, they don't pronounce the qaf. The qaf is a hamza. Middle Eastern people in general, Egyptian as well, the qaf is a hamza. So instead of manqusha, they called it manusha. And they even write it with a hamza. Huh? And this shows you the level of literacy, mashallah. And, anyways, make fun of my own people. It's all good. So avoid praying in these places. Huh? And we already spoke about that funky carpet. That funky carpet with the Kaaba and Medina and Masjid al-Aqsa and all of these things, just to make sure that, mashallah, you get the ajr of all the salawat by praying on the sajada. Huh? So all this is not founded in our deen. No such thing. You want to pray on a rug because you have some reason? Ma fi mushkila. But make sure it is plain. Plain. Nothing on it. Otherwise, it will distract you. وَأَلَّا يَتْرُكَ عِنْدَهُ مَا يُشْغِلُ حِسَّهُ. And don't leave around you that which will distract your senses. Yani, don't let anything be there which may distract you. Seeing, hearing, touching, whatever. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَمَّا صَلَّ فِي إِنْجُبَانِيَّةِ لَهَا أَعْلَامٌ نَزَعَهَا وَقَالْ إِنَّهَا أَلْهَتْنِي آنِفًا عَنْ صَلَاتِي. سبحان الله. Hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. I remember when the first time I came across hadith, I couldn't believe it. The hadith mentions when the Prophet ﷺ prayed in a garment which was given as a gift to him. One of the Sahaba gave him a gift. That gift is a garment. That garment had a'lam, which means the scholars say it had some, what do you call that in English? Stripes. Striped kind of garment, which had something on it. It wasn't really decorated, but it had some stripes. He prayed in it, alayhi salatu salam, and in the salah, his eyes fell by mistake on these stripes, which distracted him. As soon as he finished the salah, took it off and said, give this back to the brother who gave it to me as a gift and bring me that other kind of garment instead. And then he said at the end, إِنَّهَا أَلْهَتْنِي أَنِفًا عَنْ صَلَاتِي, because it just distracted me from my salah. Subhanallah. So one garment with a stripe on it that barely distracted the Prophet ﷺ, he said, get rid of it. Take it away from here. This is how you deal with the means. Huh? This is how to deal with the problem. If it's going to affect with the salah, someone will say right now, it's extreme. No, it's not extreme. Because he says, alayhi salam, this is something which may affect the salah. Don't give it any room. It's not welcome. Just get rid of it from the beginning. So now, this is on your garment. How often would you look on your garment? Not that often. How often would you look at the carpet? The whole time. So this is more of a reason why we should change these carpets. I invite every Muslim who hears this to get rid of this carpet which you bought for 5 riyals or whatever you paid for it that has these masajid on the front or any kind of decoration. And like I said, the only people who don't are not bothered by it, those who their salah from the beginning was not there. That's why it doesn't bother him. What he's thinking, he's not even thinking about the salah anyways. So whether there's a masjid or not, it's all the same. Anyone who has some sense of concentration, it will bother him. 100%. Otherwise, something is wrong. نعم. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمَوَادِ الْبَاطِنَةِ فَطَرِيقُ عِلَاجِهِ أَنْ يَرُدَّ النَّفْسَ قَهْرًا إِلَى مَا يَقْرَأُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَيُشْغِلَهَا بِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ. If the matter is related to the inwardly things, the things of the heart, then the solution for that is to resist yourself, and return it to the concentrating on that which you're reciting, and so you will busy it from anything else which may busy you. وَيَسْتَعِدُّ لِذَلِكَ قَبْلَ الدُّخُولِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. And one should prepare for that prior to entering the salah. And I don't know if the Shaykh will mention it, but let me add this, just for the sake of adding it. One of the ways to do this is praying in the first row. Okay? Why? Look, ask those who pray in the second row. What is it? Are you first able to look at the place of sujood? Not really. What you will see is feet. And the person's thawb, which keeps dancing in front of you, Every time he gets up from ruku', his thawb will go ew, ew, in and out, in and out. And his feet and the cracks on the back of his feet, you know the heels, cracked heels. That's what it is. And some people will have an analysis of the person's feet. By the time he's done, he knows everything about his toes and his heels and what kind of cream he needs to get used and everything. Because naturally you can't look at the place you want to look. Yeah, boy, the guy keeps moving back and forth every time. But as the people who pray in the first row, they will never suffer this problem. Never. Ever. You have a peace of mind in the first row. Everything is mia, mia. There's nothing in front of you. And like I said before, it doesn't stink. The only place in the carpet, in the masjid, which doesn't smell like feet is the first row. because no one prays in front. All the second row, third row smells like feet. You know the people that make wudu and their feet are still wet and stinky, and they come into the masjid, walk, and then stand up, still they're wet, their feet are wet. Then they pray, it leaves this stench that doesn't go away with the best kind of perfumes. And you have to inhale this in every sajda. If you had prayed in the first row, you would have saved yourself this headache. So praying in the first row, besides the many ahadith which we have about its virtue, logically speaking, it will help us accomplish 80% of what we're speaking about here. And it's difficult to accomplish it, 80% difficult to accomplish if we are praying in the second row, because you cannot avoid what will be in front of you. You cannot avoid the smell. You cannot avoid the distraction. It's too many things going on. Too many things going on. Now, so how the Sheikh said, prepare yourself prior to entering the salah. بِأَنْ يَقْضِي أَشْغَالَهُ. One of us should finish up all of this pending issues. Huh? All of the pending issues, finish. So the time of salah comes, you're not still thinking about something. And that's why if you're the decision maker, huh, never make the meeting in before and after salah. Because what you'll be thinking about in the salah is the meeting. And what you will be saying after the meeting. Now it's very difficult to convince Muslims, let alone the non-Muslims. Muslims trying to tell him, Ya Akhi Al-Aziz, Barakallah Feek. We have a whole day for a meeting. Ya'ani Shaitan Irkabak. You don't want the time, except at the time of Salah, 15 minutes before Salah, important 2-hour meeting. Tabma, as soon as you say, Marhaban, we're going to go pray. What happens now? People are of one of two kinds. Ubbad al-Dinar wa Ubbad al-Lahi. Tabarak wa ta'ala. Those who worship the fulus and those who worship Allah. Those who worship the fulus will sit down. Sit down. Let the mudir speak. Ya boy, is the mudir. Kafir, huh? In the kingdom. I see them. I work with them. Sitting there. And get up. Say, come on, man. Let's go. Pray. Abu Ali Khalafu. He doesn't like it. Shh. Yimshi. Who cares? He doesn't like it. Next. Look. Who's control? Who's in control? Allah or this lowly creature? Allah. You go do your salah, don't worry about it. Allah will raise you above them in spite of them. You become a little cockroach and make sure that this kafir is making sure that you have allegiance to your work. He will humiliate you, wallahi. He will continue to humiliate you until you left with nothing, until you leave the salah completely. I've seen these people. Yani, some of them, their shayateen are so strong that we don't even have a meeting. The guy, the mudir, huh, non-Muslim, sitting at his desk. And this brother will go over at the time of salah. I had just told him, Ya Akhi, salah. Huh? We're going to go to the masjid, salah. At the time, he says, 1 second. He goes and he stands there and opens conversations with him to show him his allegiance. I go to the masjid. 30 minutes, come back, he's still standing there. Did you pray? No, right now. And I just say, I don't understand what's going on. Why are we Muslims acting like this? See, if a kafir comes to the kingdom and he sees us acting like this, soon this kingdom will be down. We have to let them know, I'm saying this for those who work in companies, this is a Muslim country. And they are warned in their country before they go there. Trust me, they go through training. These are Muslims. Huh? Salah, don't play with it. The hay'ah will come and smack you with a stick. They know, they are taught this. When they come and see us, a bunch of clowns, they say, Allah, these are nothing. We were told some false information. These guys don't know no God. They're a false religion. Or they just follow some religion. Then they will khalas, open the door. Then when you come and try to stand, they say, what is wrong with you? You extremist, huh? You're a naughty mutawwir. Why all these other guys make a big issue about the salah? Only you have a problem with the salah. Because the predecessors didn't do the job. Had they known that at the time of salah, everything ends, then they would have known their limits, and at the time of salah, they would zip it. And we would go pray and come back in business as usual. Allah will bless the transaction after salah, whereas He will take away the blessing from the transaction during salah. But people don't believe in Allah, so they deal with numbers and figures and graphs. They don't know that Allah is the one who manages this whole thing, and He controls it. So if you work in a company, akhi, please, represent, as they say. Represent. Don't be weak and don't be a fool and don't let these kuffar have their way. Huh? If you put your trust in Allah and you speak, Allah will put fear in their heart. And they will know that you're someone they don't play with. And you will prevail. You will prevail, inshallah ta'ala. Now, so how did I get here? Hey, so anything which will distract you from the salah, finish it up before the time of salah comes. وَيُجَدِّدْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ ذِكْرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَقَطَرُ الْقِيَامِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَهَوْلِ الْمَطْلَعِ. And one of us should renew the idea about the life to come and the danger of standing before the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the hawl al-matla'. Yani hawl is like the amazing fear. Is a better word for hawl. Ha Saad. Hawl. Ha lahu shay. Huh? What? Ah? Maybe. No. Yani, like the gravity, the serious gravity of the resurrection. Wallahu a'lam. My vocabulary is failing me. فَأَنْ لَمْ تَسْكُنِ الْأَفْكَارِ بِذَلِكَ فَلْيُعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيمَا أَهَمَّهُ وَاشْتَهَى. If one is unable to then control his thoughts because of this, the magnitude, how about that? Huh? The magnitude of the resurrection. If one is unable to control himself, then let him know that he is being occupied with what is important to him and what he desires. فَلْيَتْرُكْ تِلْكَ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَلْيَقْطَعْ تِلْكَ الْعَلَائِقِ. Then leave alone these temptations, desires, and cut off these relations that are distracting one of us from the life to come. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعِلَّةَ مَتَى تَمَكَّنَتْ لَا يَنْفَعُهَا إِلَّا الدَّوَاءُ الْقَوِيِّ. Huh? Very important. Know that when the disease is firmly fixed, when the disease is firmly fixed, it became part of this person. It's not like some, yani, what do you call that, permanent illnesses, or there's another word for it. Chronic. Anyway, like chronic illness, once it becomes like that, it is not cured, and it will not benefit except from a very strong medication. Huh? وَالْعِلَّةُ إِذَا قَوْيَتْ جَاذَبَتِ الْمُصَلِّ وَجَاذَبَهَا إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَنْقَدِ صَلَاةِ فِي الْمُجَاذَبَةِ. And if that disease is strong, then it will attract. It was like a magnet. It will attract that musalli like a magnet, and he will be attracted towards it until the salah ends while he is in that state of repelling and attraction and repelling. وَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ وَمَثَلُ ذَلِكَ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَصْفُوَ لَهُ فِكْرَهُ. فِكْرُهُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَصْفُوَ لَهُ فِكْرَهُ. Ah, nah, sorry. Do you think of which is the fa'al, which is the maf'ul bi? The example of this person is like a man who's under a tree. a man is under a tree, and he's trying to clear his mind. Huh? He wants to have a peace of mind, as they say. وَكَانَتْ أَصْوَاتُ الْعَصَافِيرُ تُشَوِّشُ عَلَيْهِ. And the birds, the sounds of birds was distracting him. He's trying to have a peace of mind, and weep, 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 whatever they call that thing. Huh? وَكَانَتْ أَصْوَاتُ الْعَصَافِيرُ تُشَوِّشُ عَلَيْهِ وَفِي يَدِهِ خَشَبَ يُطَيِّرُهَا بِهَا. And he has in his hand a piece of wood, which he's, using to kind of, swat away, I guess, the birds. Well, maybe not swat away, but yeah, to scare them away. Huh? It's not a fly, you can swat it anyways. فَمَا يَسْتَقِرُّ فِكْرَهُ حَتَّى تَعُودُ الْعَصَافِيرُ فَيَشْتَغَلْ بِهَا. As soon as he goes like this and they go away, as soon as he tries to recollect his peace of mind, the birds come right back, and then he's busy again trying to get rid of them. فَقِيلَ لَهُ هَذَا شَيْءٌ لَا يَنْقَطِعُ. I was said to him, يَا فُلَان, this is something that's not going to end. And you're going to continue the whole time going like this, and the birds will go and come back, go and come back. It's an endless situation. فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ الْخَلَاصِ فَاقْطَعِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Yeah, you want to peace of mind? Cut off this tree. بَلَا, don't sit under the tree and let the birds just cut off the tree. Where are the birds going to go? Nowhere. They're not going to come because there's no tree. Therefore, you can have now a peace of mind. فَكَذَلِكَ شَجَرَةُ الشَّهْوَةِ إِذَا عَلَتْ. Similarly, or likewise, is the tree of desires. إِذَا عَلَتْ, if it is raised, if it gets high, huh? If it ascends, وَتَفَرَّقَتْ أَغْصَانُهَا, and then it branches, branched off. إِنْجَذَبَتْ إِلَيْهَا الْأَفْكَارِ كَانْجِذَابِ الْعَصَافِيرِ إِلَى الْأَشْجَارِ وَالذُّبَابِ إِلَى الْأَقْذَارِ. Once the tree grows and it has all these branches, it will attract the birds. Huh? It will attract the birds. The thoughts will be attracted to it. The same way the birds are attracted to the branches and flies are attracted to filth. فَذَهَبَ الْعُمُرُ النَّفِيسِ فِي دَفْعِ مَا لَا يَنْدَفْعِ. So a person wastes his valuable lifespan trying to fight off that which he cannot fight off. He never cut the tree. He's only trying to fight it back. وَسَبَبْ هَذِي الشَّهْوَ الَّتِي تُوجِبُ الْأَهَذِي الْأَفْكَارِ حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا. And the summary of all that, the reason behind this shahwa, which brings about all these thoughts, is the love of the dunya. Is the love of the dunya. So we have to understand then the essence of all our problem is what? Love of the dunya. Really. Now there's no harm in a person being involved in the dunya, as long as the ulama say it is in one's hand and it doesn't make it to one's heart. We are all guilty, more or less, that the dunya went beyond our hands into our hearts. And therefore it caused all these, mass destruction and these kind of collateral damage. Because we've allowed too much of the dunya to access the heart. We should have left it in the hand like the Sahaba did. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Like Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Like the Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. These were people who really did it for the sake of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. قيل لعامر بن عبد قيس رحمه الله. It was said to Amr ibn Abd Qais. Of course his name is a big problem. Huh? Abd Qais? Is that okay? Is Qais one of the names of Allah? Can you put Abd before someone other than Allah? La. But we have Muslims who are called Abdul Nabi. Don't you know that?
Yes.
Huh?
Abdul Muhammad.
Eh? Abdul Muhammad, Abdul Nabi, A'udhu Billah. What's that book here, Adil? There's that book, Manzil, huh? You should see this book which should be burnt. That book which should be burnt at the end. Ascending the Salah on the Prophet ﷺ, who is the Noor of the Arsh. And he is the Noor of Allah. And another dua. Noor of Allah, Allahu Noor al-Samawat wal-Ard. This is a very dangerous statement. And this is a casual dua they put at the end with all their other bid'ah which they came up with. Ya kada, ya kada, ya kada. Pages upon pages of bid'ah which our deen is free of. Our deen is so simple and beautiful and easy. These people come up with this ad'iyah and these salawat and durood that have no basis. Busy in the people and they contain shirk. If they didn't have shirk, it would have been a calamity. A bid'ah. Let alone when it has shirk, and given the Prophet ﷺ some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anywho, so it was said to Amir, هَلْ تُحَدِّثُكَ. But of course, this is the name of his father. And you cannot change the name of your father. Like that, the Hindu brother, well now he's a Muslim, that's why I called him brother. Huh? Otherwise he's a Hindu, not brother. No, never call a Jew or a Christian a brother. Okay? Some people say, our Christian brother asked, لا حبيبي. Oh, what do you mean Christian brother?
Christian friend.
What a friend, come on. And this Christian person, huh? I mean feller. Yeah, and you may get diplomatic if necessary, but never brother. A brother, this is a heavy word. Yeah, you give him brother. He's not a brother in faith. And he's not your brother from obviously your own parents. And our old statement, which I used to say that I was corrected about and I abandoned, brother in humanity. Because at the end of the day, Adam is our common father, is according to the ulama, is not acceptable. So he's not a brother, period. Huh? Never call a kafir a brother. But that person embraced Islam yesterday after Jumu'ah. Therefore I said Hindu brother, as in the brother who came from Hinduism. His father's name, the brother told me, I don't know who was here, his brother's name is some Hindu god. Huh? Some Hindu god. So now, does he change his name if he called himself Muhammad? Can he change his father's name?
No.
La. You have to keep that because this is your lineage. So this name, his name is Amir ibn Abd Qais. What can he do? His father's name Abd Qais, like Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul مطلب انتبه مطلب is not for Allah عز وجل خلاص this is قدر of Allah you move on with your life it was said to him هل تحدثك نفسك بشيء من أمور الدنيا في الصلاة look at this man huh? he said does yourself do you talk to yourself about anything of the matters of the dunya and the salah If you ask any one of us now, you'll say, oh, tell me which one you want me to tell you about. Which one of the matters of the dunya, brother? Because there are so many on my mind. I know I can write them for you on a piece of paper and categorize them for you and put them in a chart. And then I'll tell you which one I think about in salah. That's why they said, you know, they make jokes about the hadramis. You know the hadramis, they say, they said that they were praying behind an imam. Salatul Isha. And so anyways, they prayed and when the imam finished the salah, the people differed. Did you pray 3 rak'at or 4 rak'at? Huh? And everybody starts, and some people say 3, some people say 4. So the guy got up and said, look man, wallah we prayed 3. He said, how did you know? He said, I have 4 stores. And I think each rak'ah I dedicated for one of my stores. I think about it. I didn't get to the 4th one. Huh? I only dealt with 3 stores. There's one more store which I didn't get to think about. Wallah we didn't pray 4. MashaAllah. So that tells you something about that. But Amir was on a different level. Huh? Ya boy, Allah irham ummak, la'ad ibi shufak. Mashi? I hate you with the passion. I like to be old school. Okay? No wizik, no shizik, no nothing. Anybody wants to get, download the MP3 from onewayreparadise.net and get it over with. I'm closing all this thing down. Shut down this computer. Barakallah feek. Hikes, what a zahma. Not your fault, Habibi. Muhammad, I know you're doing your best, Zakallah khair, you want the ajr, but I told you from the beginning, I'm a hard-headed, annoying person. And I knew this was going to happen. It's going to come a pop-up message, and batikh, and all this, and this person chatting with me now. And I see, I mean, we, huh? You can install it over there. Put the laptop like this on the wall, from a distance that it does, and someone controls it from some room. Huh? Remote room, ma fi mushkila. But like this in front of my face, it's not going to happen. Tayyib, what did he say? Do you think about any of the matters of the dunya and salah? He said, لَإِن تَخْتَلِفَ الْأَسِنَّةُ فِيَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَجِدَ هَذَا My understanding of this, because this could be interpreted. I understand from Sinan, like the arrows. He said, for arrows to all of them go into me. 10 people throw arrows and penetrate me is more beloved to me than I find that which you're talking about. And I would prefer that I would die by people throwing spears. Huh? Not Britney Spears. Huh? Spears. Throwing spears at me. And just in case somebody said, you know, I'm calling it to something else. Huh? It's better for me. Than for me to even find that which you're talking about. Yeah, and this is something that is not even on the list of possibilities for him. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ قَطَعْ حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا The last paragraph we'll deal with, inshallah. And know, أَنَّ قَطَعْ حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْقَلْبِ أَمْرٌ صَعْبٌ Know that being able to extract the love of the dunya from the heart is a difficult mission. It's not easy. أَمْرٌ صَعْب It's a really difficult thing. وزواله بالكلية عزيز and to be able to eradicate it completely عزيز what does عزيز mean لا لا see this is why the English the air yes but لا look all of them here mean that عزيزي my dear huh? and عزيز قوي huh mighty but here the word has another meaning You may have heard it in the dua of the imam. He mentions the dua and then he says, وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ It comes in the Quran. صحيح? Who knows what aziz means in this context? Something precious. Precious and it people want to attain it. It's something that the people want to acquire. Something aziz, like nafis. Huh? Something you really want, but it's not easy for you to get. So he said, وَزَوَلُوا بِالْكُلِيَ عَزِيزٍ To be able to eradicate it completely, something aziz, something that is so precious, you would love to do it, but it's very difficult for you to do it. That's why I say, وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ But to Allah, it's not something that is undoable. It's easy for Allah. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. But with us it's something that requires a lot of work. فليقع الاجتهاد في الممكن منه والله الموفق المعين. So let then the effort be exerted in the area which we can deal with. None of us is going to stand in salah and خلاص يعني from the beginning till the end be, but let's deal with the things which we can deal with. There are many things which we can deal with that we are too lazy. And I've said it many times, and I repeat it again. I'm still amazed how the adhan could be called and then someone doesn't pray here. Plain. Unless the masjid you're going to is 1 minute away, I don't understand the wisdom or what is that gain, what are you going to gain by praying at some other masjid? What, 10, 15 minutes? And with these 10, 15 minutes, are you sleeping exactly at like 11 o'clock so that the 10, 15 minutes will ruin your schedule? Really, it's from often, I mean, I'm excusing those who are excused. But we have to be careful. Sometimes it's from the shaitan. Sometimes there's really nothing to gain from this 10 minutes that you go early in. You know, as soon as you get on the road, all the shayateen will come. And suddenly time is ticking and the iqama is getting close and you're stuck in traffic and there's no near masjid. By the time, raht as-salah. Either you miss takbirat al-ihram or you miss the first row if you don't miss the salah altogether. And then you look at yourself, what did you gain? Nothing. You were in the masjid and sitting, relaxing in the first row. Everything was dandy. Finish the salah. You're in a hurry. Salaamu alaykum rahmatullah. Salaamu alaykum rahmatullah. Shh, leave. Do the adhkar in the sayara. Subhanallah. 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 Ma fi mushkila. Yani, there's ways. If that minute is, yani, if your whole life depends on these few minutes, you can make it up in another way. So, you know. Don't leave unless you really have to leave. I understand. Sometimes you have to leave. And we all have to assume the best about the brothers. When we see them leave, we know there must be a good reason. I'm saying this for those who don't have a good reason. And the shaitan has deceived them in this regard. Don't let him deceive you. You heard this? You know what that means. Wallahu al-muwaffiq al-mu'in. And with Allah lies success. And Allah is the source of aid. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.